Welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. This is episode 17, and today is January the 29th, 2011. We have Harley Wang here.
Harley?
Oh, hello? Sorry, I lagged out for a second.
And we have Andrew here as well.
Hello.
And always here as usual is me, of course, Marcus. Yeah. Guess we'll discuss a bit of what's been happening around in the gaming world, at least today. Anyways, before we start, what have you guys been playing recently? Anyone?
We've all been playing League of Legends. I can say that much.
All League of Legends. And then Left 4 Dead 2, I guess, a little bit.
Oh, I've been playing that Hold'em poker thing on my cell phone.
Is that fun? Like,
yeah. No, it's just sitting on the bus and there's nothing to do, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been playing Scrabbles on my phones too. It's addicting, those mini games.
Yeah. I've been playing a bit of League with these guys and a bit of Left 4 Dead as well. And a bit of a Zenonia on the Android phone as well, which is available on iOS as well. So yeah, it's a neat little RPG if you like something like Final Fantasy or like the old school Zelda, like bird's eye view type of game. So yeah, I guess we'll jump into what we have for stories today. Firmware for Sony actually kills off the PS3 hack that was recently released into the interwebs.
I think we all saw that coming, right?
It's
pretty obvious. Like, I think we commented on it like way back. Like, any kind of hack on the PS3, it's just gonna get killed by the next update. So unless you never plan on playing online ever again, or you dedicate a PS3 purely to offline playing. Don't hack it. There's no point to hacking it. And like, they'll know. Like, once you hack it, you can't, like, it's not like you can reverse it and then, like, you know, send it in for repairs or whatever. They'll know, like, permanently if there's, like, a record file on there. So, just don't hack your PS3.
Yeah, the funny thing is that within, like, a few hours, somebody actually
hacked
it again.
Hacked it again.
Yeah, so that firmware is hacked. Again,
but I mean, look, you're spending so much time. Like, it's gonna get okay. Look, they're gonna release another update in a couple of weeks, and then you're not gonna know when that's gonna happen. So you're gonna have to play in fear. Is it gonna be worth it? I don't know. Like, it's just, you know, just buy games that you really want to play, and other games just rent them. It's not that much.
Yeah, and the thing about this hack, Sony's actually trying to sue the hacker that hack the PS3 to play homebrew and hack games.
It's not gonna work, man. Like, they try to hack, or they try to sue the hacker that broke the PSP, and that didn't go down very well. So, yeah, it's kind of the same story here.
Yeah, the Apple tried to do the same thing with the person that attacked the iPhone, but they actually got a law that said it's actually legal to hack the iPhone, or at least your phone that you own, because it's like you own the hardware.
Yeah, well, and you also own the software, right? You have the rights to the software,
or at least a license.
Yeah, a license to the that's right. You're just choosing not to use their software, right?
Yeah. Well, talking about software, Tales of Graces F has a teaser trailer site for, well, a teaser site for possible localization. I think this is a great move on Namco Bandai's part, because as most RPG players know, that the Tales series is, of course, a quality RPG. And it's been, like, most of the Tales games that do make it over here do pretty well. And especially if you play like Symphonia or Vesperia, like, you know, it's that those two were probably the most recent series that came to North America, and most of us know that they're pretty high quality RPGs.
I actually don't know that much about like games overseas and stuff like that. So
have you played Tales?
Yes, I have, but I haven't played any sort of like foreign titles, or I'm not one of those hardcores that buys the Japanese version and tries to figure out what they're saying. Yeah.
I only played two series on the Tales, Vesperia and The Heart. The Tales of Heart is actually on the DS, which never got imported. So I was playing on a Chinese version, and it's pretty funny.
But can you, like, you can actually read it, right?
Yeah, something I can read the Chinese, right?
Oh, okay, so
The fans localized it.
Oh, okay.
And put the ROMs on. Yeah. So I was playing the Chinese version.
Well, at least you understand it. Like some, you know, the Japanese ones, right? Like I have tons of friends who like they're hardcores. They buy the Japanese versions, and then like they try to play it and they try to guess what they're saying.
Well, some of my friend does that too, but they read the walkthrough online.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't like reading walkthroughs because it ruins the experience.
Well, yeah, unless I usually stay away from walkthroughs on some really stuck for days. Like a couple days, I can't get past this level or something, or that's when I reach for the online walkthroughs and try to figure out something that I might have missed, or something like some kind of secret passageway or some technique how to beat a certain boss or something.
Yeah, but for some games that's just never going to be coming over here, you have to do that, like play the localized version, no, play the original version with the walkthrough, right, to understand.
Yeah. That's also a good way to learn a language, right?
Yeah, learn Japanese. That's not the only one you need.
Yeah, and possibly Korean as well.
Yeah, there are some Korean, although mainly it's all Japan.
Well, if you want, to learn, Korea is for, I guess, multiplayer games, MMOs, online.
Oh, okay, yeah, they dominate that with the, like, World of Warcraft copies. But,
they have tons.
You know what they're all about. They're horrible, horrible, addicting machines.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on to our next story is the NGP, or as most of us refer to as the PSP2, was announced at Sony's press conference this past week. Some neat features that it has is basically it's got more horsepower in it, a back touch panel, front and back front and rear cameras, front OLED touchscreen. And finally, a second analog stick on there as well.
Do you have anything to say?
I don't understand why they even bother giving the name NGP. NGP. So why generic. Not just say it's a PSP2? Why bother saying NGP, right?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I don't know, but
like they have a name waiting for this device that's not PSP2.
I don't think they want to call it PSP2 because they probably think it's not cool or whatever.
It's not cool.
Not marketable, you know. I don't know. But look, like they try to sell the PSP Go. They could have sold the PSP Go as the PSP2, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, then they have the PSP 1000, 2000, 3000. I don't know. I think they just want to try to be creative, but they're going to fail at it. They just, you know, Sony's not known for coming up with great names. I mean, it's like PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation, like it's all PlayStation something. So screw it. Just go with the flow, all right? It doesn't matter. The point is, this thing is awesome, right? It has, like, all the toys that you can dream of on a handheld. It's pretty crazy.
Besides 3D screens.
Well, besides 3D screens, you're right.
No, but they could do 3D if they wanted to.
Don't rule it out. It's capable.
It's just not being... They just don't want to implement it right now.
They say it's just there is.
Well, it's already, well, look at the battery. It's only lasting 3 hours, right? Three to 4 hours of playing. That's it. It's just really.
I mean, look, it's going to happen in the future, right? It's like the DS to the DS Fat to the DS Lite, right? Like you have a battery life performance or improvement. And then now with this, eventually, I mean, if 3D really picks up, they're going to go 3D. The thing is, this thing is going to be like this thing. Okay, it outperforms the 3DS, no doubt. Like hardware wise, it has a lot more stuff that the 3DS can't dream of having. But the problem is what the price is going to what they're going to issue the initial price with the 3DS being already, what is it, $250? Yeah, this is going to have to be more, right? So like how much?
$350.
That's crazy. That's crazy, right? $350 for a handheld.
It's basically unheard of. Like $250. Well,
it's eventually going to become like, you know, cell phone pricing. Now to buy a good phone, you need to spend like $800 to $1,000, right? So like, I hope it really doesn't come down to that because I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah. It's like, I think the biggest problem with this device right now is, as you guys said, isn't the hardware itself, but the pricing of the hardware. It's going to drive away a lot of people, including myself, who aren't going to spend $350 to $400 for a
handheld. For the record, we're not saying it's $350.
Speculative
but,
pricing.
Yeah, but we're just saying it's going to be really expensive.
Like speculative pricing, I'm guessing it's going to be around $350 to $400, which I am not willing to put that kind of money into handheld right now.
Yeah.
Well, in the future, with inflation and stuff, yeah, but right now it's a little too much for. Well,
even if it's like $400, right? You're paying your cell phone. It's, well, the iPhone costs you $650 minimum, right?
Yeah,
Standalone, not with the contract. It costs almost $700.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like your cell phone, right?
But that's the thing, right? Like Apple sells everything overpriced and people still buy it. So like
just the iPhone that's $700, right? Most of
I know a lot of cell phones are.
Well, cell phones are in the $400 to $500 price range for something with a decent specs.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, I don't know if, I guess it's reasonable if you say it like that, it's definitely possible. I mean, to make it sound like the PSP2 is a reasonable price at $400 to $500.
Yeah, right?
but I mean the thing is,
but it's comparing not to another. Like handheld of like DS, the 3DS, right? It's just.
Well, another thing is like you have to realize the vast majority of people out there holding iPhones and fancy smartphones, they're on subsidized contracts, right? So
which people doesn't realize it costs them more.
It's absolutely deceptive. It's like a credit card. It's like your credit card interest rate. It's exactly. You know, it's evil. Now the thing is. Okay, with the PSP2, you have to pay it up front, and in our society, people don't like paying up front.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's going to be the big downfall of pricing at $400. It might in the long run, I guarantee you, it's going to be cheaper than your cell phone, even like a really shitty cell phone. But like the point is, people aren't good. They're going to look at it and say, well, hey, I get a free cell phone, and you know, it's tied to a 3-year contract that you know you're going to have to sell your kids to pay for, but. But, you know, the PSP is going to sell at $400 and they're going to feel like it's more expensive. And that's going to be the problem. So unless they offer the PSP at like a subsidized, like somehow get like data plans on PSPs.
That's what they said they're going to have with the data plans. So with the,
right, but
with the 3G. But it's not going to be on, it's only going to be for gaming, right? And it's not.
Yeah. So it can't replace your phone. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of hard to convince people to do that, and I don't know how much the subsidy is going to be. Data is not that expensive. Voice is usually more. People usually pay more for voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like the thing is that most people that are going to get the PSP2 already have data plans, and they're most likely going to have smartphones that might be like if they're using Android. Which I personally am using right now, you can actually have a wireless, like a mobile access point straight from the phone. So it's like people aren't going to want to carry around two devices that have data plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another problem.
But PSP offers emulation for PS1 games, right?
Yeah.
Or no, Android. Sorry, Android offers. Yeah, sorry, I got that mixed up. Android's gonna offer emulation for PS1 games, which is pretty cool. But yeah, actually, I have Android, so like, I'm pretty happy with that announcement. I have like Android, I have iPhone, I have a lot of access to these things, and like, anytime one of these like emulators comes out, I'm so happy.
You get to play them.
Yeah, I know.
Especially and
it's like it's cheap, or it's cheap, or if it's like if it's or even better if it's free. A lot of them are free, so like, it's really good.
Yeah. So anything else on this PSP tube topic or emulation?
If it's the same price as the DS, I'm gonna buy it. If not, then like, you know, I'll probably hold out. Unless all my friends get it, then I'm gonna bow to social pressure and peer pressure.
No, but the another thing is about all these new generation portables is like their battery life really, really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know what you mean. Yeah.
If you're playing an RPG game,
that's like going nothing.
From one safe spot to another probably will take you 3 to 4 hours.
Or at least half an hour between save points. Like least half an hour, 45 minutes for your average.
That means you have to always be carrying your chargers around, you know?
Yeah.
If you're on like a trip or something, or on the plane, and you want to play, like you can't do it. The battery is not gonna last you that long. And the PSP, right? They seal the battery too, so
you can't remove
it. And
yeah, you have to like modify it with like some gigantic aftermarket battery.
Yeah, they sealed it up like the iPhone, so you can't take it out and hack it.
Yeah.
That's
well, unless you crack the whole thing and then like, you know,
then
goes to back touch battle.
But then you void the warranty and everything. So yeah.
They say they seal it up for the back touch panel, but I doubt it.
No, this is just like Apple sealing up their products so that people can't you know screw around with it. They can then this way they'll charge you for the battery replacements, right?
Yeah.
They nickel and dime you with everything, basically.
Pretty much. I had a friend that paid, I think from high school through through university, he sent in his iPod. I don't know what it was. I think it was the first generation video iPod. And he sent it in for for battery replacements because he uses it all the time. And he spent like, I think he spent the cost of the iPod video for battery replacements just sending it 3 times. So it's like, I guess it's probably close to $100 per battery replacement or something.
Probably $80 or so, because they're priced around, right now they're priced around $250, so.
Okay. I don't know. All I know is he said that he could have bought a new, I was like, why didn't you just buy an iPod Touch, but like, whatever.
Do you guys know what the format is? The CD or something that the game's going to be on for the PSP.
They actually ditched the UMD, and I think they're going with a digital download and also cartridges of some sort.
Cartridges?
Are you
like
serious?
DS cartridges, like something like that. From what I've...
That is old school. Okay.
Like some kind of cards.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be UMD?
They ditched the UMD.
UMD, yeah, Sony's created a lot of formats that have not worked out well over the years.
Especially UMD, which is horrible for read speeds and also battery life. It kills batteries like there's no tomorrow.
It was a cool idea, but I mean, definitely it's going to... Direct download is just a much better just distribution system. And, you know, it's... I know some people are going to be pissed because, like, you know, you can't hold the game in your hand, right? There's no box and there's no, like, you know, manual that the smell of a new game. But, like, you know, I've gotten kind of used to it. Like, in the last, I think StarCraft has been the only game where I actually bought
a physical copy.
Yeah. I think everything else that I bought, like Battlefield, Modern Warfare, whatever, was, like, just... download, so
and the thing is with a digital download as well is that you can't pass your copy to a friend to lend them for a week.
yeah no resale value,
but to be fair they're a little bit cheaper, so I mean, like, I know, like, you can get them generally. I mean, they sell at the same price, but like digital copies will be on sale a lot more often than the hard copies. Although you can buy the hard copies used or whatever for a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, what would be neat is if they had some kind of buyback program. If like you play through it, you get a fraction of the cost back.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're gonna do that, man. That's not good business for.
That's not good business at all.
Yeah,
maybe for discount for the new game that you're gonna purchase the next time.
That would be a good idea to get you to spend more money. But yeah, they're not gonna give you. Yeah, they're not gonna give you money back. That's just no. They're never gonna do that. Once you give them a dollar, you're never getting that back. So. Yeah.
Or like some kind of free content that you don't get with a. Like your physical copy that you will get with a digital download.
But digital copy is fine right now, right? That's the way it is. But what was I gonna say? Oh shoot, I lost my thought.
Found it yet?
Just space down.
Damn, could have been a breakthrough
for business. Oh, I know. Andrew,
come on. No.
No, forget it.
It's okay. It's okay. No, digital download. Like, I think anyone that has Steam or what is the other one? Director Drive or something?
There's OnLive.
OnLive. Okay, and then there's Microsoft on whatever. Microsoft has their own thing.
Microsoft Games for Windows.
Yeah, yeah. Like, these things, this is what the future of gaming is going to look like. You're not going to walk into a store and you can't see these things. So, like, EB and all these games, I mean, they're basically going to be limited to selling, like, consoles and handhelds. It's going to be hard for them to sell actual games because people are just picking up games online with their credit cards and it's just so easy.
Yeah, I found my thought.
Sorry?
Oh, hello? I found it.
Oh, yeah?
I know what I was going to say.
Okay, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Yo, digital copy, it kills bandwidth. You know how I tried Left 4 Dead
2? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that 10 gigs, it just kills bandwidth too quickly. Like, I only get 60 gigs a month. Like, in Canada, we need a better
internet
service. For internet and cell phones, because we get throttled for everything. We get over...
Exactly.
Like, everything is overpriced.
This is the only thing that's going to kill digital.
Yeah, that's absolutely... Yeah. I mean, I was just in the States just a couple weeks ago, and I saw, like, they had, like, cell phone plans or like, mobile internet plans, like, data plans, unlimited usage. I don't know how fast it was. I'm going to assume it's pretty fast, but it was unlimited usage, and it was, like, $40 a month.
Like,
yeah, I'll pay for
mobile.
Unlimited.
It's mobile. Do you understand? Like, it's mobile, man. Like, unlimited mobile.
Yeah. Even with like something like Sprint, you have unlimited like everything for like $70. But up here, $70 buys you like
90 gigs.
Yeah.
No. $70. For mobile.
Oh, for mobile?
Like 25.
Unlimited everything. But up here, all you get is like 6 gigs, like 200 minutes. Unlimited text, and that's basically it.
Well, I mean, look, bandwidth caps are gonna kill not just this direct download for gaming, but it's gonna kill Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix. It's gonna kill all of those. The anything streaming, it's gonna kill. So like, that's what really sucks about the whole thing.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on to our last topic, which is Ocarina. Of Time for 3DS isn't going to be released until after E3. And same thing with Skyward Sword. It won't be released until after Ocarina of Time comes out or sometime after E3. Which I find kind of disappointing, but what can you do? But you kind of expect it with Zelda that they're going to delay it. Because it's one of Nintendo's biggest franchises one of their biggest IPs that they have.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be like, it's they've delayed a lot of games before. I mean, nowadays, it seems like every game that's coming out is going to eventually get delayed. Like, Blizzard delays by ages, like decades.
And decades. Like,
yeah, I know. And then, like, you know, Nintendo's doing it, PlayStation's doing it, or Sony's doing it. I don't know. As long as they deliver a quality product in the end, I think, it'll be worth the wait. But, you know, obviously you have to look at how much of a benefit you're getting. I mean, marginal benefit, right? I mean, if you're waiting another half year just to, you know, iron out some things that no one's really going to notice, then, you know, people are going to lose interest.
Yeah, especially, like, a great example of that is GT5.
It took Prologue killed it. Like, just people bought Prologue and then like, it was years after before they released the actual game, and then nobody really cared for it.
Yeah, it's like, after playing Prologue, you forgot about Prologue. It's like, what the flip? GT5's coming out?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where I think they dragged it on too long. People moved on, so you gotta really strike when you actually have the product and when you have something that people want to play. You should just throw it out there, even if it is. You can update, right? There are updates that you can release and fix the game if something happens.
Yeah,
you know, that's
what I don't disagree. I rather wait for the game and have like no problems instead of getting updates, constant updates. It just shows that the product's not finished, you know. If you keep getting these small bugs, updates and stuff, it just shows this team is not working at like with the quality on their mind. They just want to rush this game out to earn some more money.
No, I understand that, but like you know how like League of Legends and StarCraft gets like regular updates.
That's completely different. StarCraft and League of Legends, when they update, it's due to balancing issues. It's not like fixing certain crashes and stuff.
Well, there are some bugs and stuff that people discover as the game is being played, and obviously they release updates because the metagame changes.
Yes,
they want to balance things. That's very important. But like, I mean, obviously I don't want bugs, like, you know, physical like issues with the game when you're playing. To have to experience those, but at the same time, I think, you know, sometimes I think a lot of these games they're refining or they're stalling due to distribution, which is kind of I don't know. I don't really think it's a good reason to stall. I think you might as well just go out with it and then release an update. It's not that big of a deal, you know. Yeah.
Like, especially with my opinion is with these updates is that like, if it's an odd update or two, it's fine. But if you're gonna stall because of like the odd bug or two, it doesn't make any sense because you can patch it once in a while. You can patch it once or twice. That's all right. But
yeah,
delaying it, it kills the game.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, let's say they want to release it in January, right? But then they want to delay it now so that they can perfect it for release in June. They might as well release it in January, have people play it for a little bit, and then fix all of the issues, like the ones that they were going to fix before and the new ones they find along the way, and then release one big update and have it done for June. And this way people, you know, I'm sure there are people that are willing to play. I mean, there are people that sign up for betas all the time. So, I mean, it's just... I don't know what they're delaying for. I'm not sure if it's actually to fix the game or if it's something business side, but I don't like delays. I hate like waiting for something and then having like getting, you know, blue balled like three times in a row. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss?
Not particularly. I'm in the market for... I've been looking at some gaming laptops recently. I've been trying some out, and here's my advice. MacBooks are not gaming laptops. That's all I have to
say. Although they are quality products, Mac OS X, very stable.
Sure, yeah, but not for gaming.
Not for gaming.
Yeah, have the odd gamer too, especially with Steam. Not the best place if you want a game.
It's purely software. If you're gonna buy it, make sure you love OS X. If don't buy it for hardware, you can get better stuff. You can get way better stuff for the money. And even if you want high end stuff, I mean, Alienware has facial recognition. Does your MacBook do that? No, it doesn't. So
not yet, at least.
Not yet, and it probably won't for a long time. I mean, By then, I mean, look, Alienware is probably gonna, you know, you can probably drive to work on your Alienware.
That was crazy.
That would be awesome, yes. But yeah, no, I'm just looking at, you know, gaming side. Seriously, I mean, you can't buy a MacBook for gaming. You just can't. It doesn't work. And I know that Steam and a lot of other games have been integrating gaming stuff or gaming platforms for Macintosh, but it just doesn't. I don't know. I don't know if that's really going to work out in the long run if Apple continues to make computers with like really medium or mediocre video cards that just, you know, they're medium to low end video cards just can't play.
Yeah, well, the market's been a lot better within the past like 3 or 4 years for Macs for gaming, at least from what I've seen.
Well, it's a huge improvement. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now and, like, 10 years ago, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, totally. But still, I don't think they're quite there yet. I think, you know, if you're in the market for anything gaming, stay away from Macs. If you're in the market for something that, you know, everyday use kind of office and just, you know, non-gaming stuff, surfing the net, whatever, Macs are the way to go. They have a very nice user interface.
Stable, and they typically don't get viruses, unlike some other systems.
Yeah, although if you really want stability and if you want like security, you should go Linux. I mean, it is just, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like, although the user base is a lot smaller than either Windows or Mac.
I'm a little upset by that because I think Linux really deserves more attention, but yeah, we'll save that for another time.
Yeah. So, I guess, unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about, this wraps up our podcast number
17.
Okay. Yeah, 17. We said 17 in the beginning.
Yeah. See you guys next time. The madman was on the streets again. What a game. You've seen its foundation holding up a ragged nation. You know it in your mind what it's like and how it lies. You want the right revolution, the right to get another portion. You know now is the time to get ready for detonation. Rise up like a vortex. Reality is the force of immorality. Retreated the cheer, the diffuser. Once it's because that's what they like. Complex going on and on. Insanity means nothing with the vanity. Good creatures, they wallow in their holly. Now sweetie, go fix the case. Drink them all up, we're asking curiosity. They need droppers and daughter positivity. Talking the first five tastes so good. Maniac track on the floor tonight. Mixed up with the Zodiac maniac. Got a heart attack, the flatline, my lifeline. Heart is hardy, pumping up steadily. The madman boys on the streets again. What a game.